Ford.com. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
This brings the second hour up of the Paracast with Gene and Chris and Dr. Barry Taff, an experienced parapsychologist joining us. We have a bunch of questions from our listeners about Barry. In fact, so many questions, I think one person asked enough questions to fill the show. But maybe before we progress, because his interests are so wide-ranging and he'll be back in the future for further answers and wisdom, maybe we'll have Chris look into some of those questions and ask them right now.
Well, I do have a question that kind of dovetails nicely, Barry, with what we've been talking about. This comes from Polterwurst, who's one of our fairly long-time posters at forum.theparacast.com. And he's interested. He's the one that wrote out, there's probably 20 questions here, if not more, but I think this one's a good one to ask right now. Is there some degree of interdisciplinary exchange with the researchers in these fields of study, maybe even with more mainstream physicists who are now talking about things like dark matter and, you know, additional dimensions, spooky action at a distance, and other unseen or intangible things, while most of them still maintain that there is nothing to psychic research or parapsychology? Are we seeing a shift in mainstream science in relation to your work, Dean Radin, others, Rupert Sheldrake?
I don't see any shift. When you start talking about the quantum elements, and no, I don't. Because, again, here's the problem is we're still looking at the world in a very three-dimensional way. And the evidence suggests that the nature of this phenomena, whether it's accessing information psychically or witnessing psychokinetic manifestations, there's another force at work here. Everything in the universe we know of, all energy forms, are exothermic. When they do work, they produce heat. Whatever this force of nature is that allows these things to happen or makes them happen is not exothermic. It's very likely endothermic, which means it's not electromagnetic, it's not nuclear, and it's not gravitational as we know it. That means there's something else out there. We don't even have machines to measure it because we don't know what it is. If we're measuring the effect of an unknown cause, we're like seeing the wake a boat produces, but we're not even aware of the boat. This is the problem, that every time we learn something, it generates 20 more questions. And we know that space and time have little effect on these things. When I was interviewing this academician several months ago about remote viewing, and I talked about remote influence, he freaked because that's still a class. I suspect it's still a classified aspect. Well, if you can see things at a distance, which has been pretty well established, it's valid and real, can you affect them at a distance? The answer is yes, but not as reliably as you can. Seeing something is easier than changing and moving it. Why, we don't know. But get to the basics of the question. The physics, the most advanced physics, still don't reconcile the fact that how could you see the future before it occurs? In my book, I talk about one of the first precognitive remote viewing sessions we did. We
got now, is this the current book?
Current?
Yes. You said in your book. This is the one that's Aliens Above, Ghosts Below?
Right. In my book, I talk about the first remote viewing event we tried. We got sick of the real-time stuff. It was boring. You know, been there, done that. Okay, it works. So we decided one Wednesday evening we were going to move forward in time in our minds to the next Wednesday evening and describe the first target that would be randomly selected. So we turn the lights off. We're in a sensory-deprived environment. So we have headphones on, mics. We don't know what each other is saying. And we're all just describing, once we imagine we're a week forwards in our mind or take ourselves there mentally, we see a tall blonde woman dressed very professionally in a beige, like, beautiful suit. And she's seated in one of the 24 chairs in the room. And we see a beautiful three-story home in the Hollywood Hills and a baby grand piano. And then we all end up, most of us, describe a tall man dressed in black, black clothing, black gloves, black hat, black mask, black sword, black boots, and an imposing sword. And we thought, we didn't even think, well, what are we talking about? Are we losing our minds? Okay. The next week, new people come in, and they're all given random numbers. They're given a number in a piece of paper sealed in a closed envelope. And these people were not there, knew nothing about. They were brought in through third parties and knew nothing about what we were doing. We rolled dice. Oh, right, open your packets. All the new people open their packets. And whatever, whose ever number matches the roll of the dice, you're the target. This woman, this girl, said, oh, it's me. And we forgot what we said a week earlier. We said, okay, take the recorder, play the you control the audio feedback, audio playback. If the statement fits you, stop it. If it doesn't, let it go. So we describe her. Perfect. Even clothing, height, face, hair. Okay, so what could have been coincidence? She's seated in the one of the 24 chairs, which she picked on her own. We didn't tell her what chair to sit in. The only chair she couldn't sit in would have been mine because it had the basic controls for the microphones. We described the house. Yep, perfectly accurate. But we got to the tall man in all in black, sword, mask, cape. Her father was Guy Williams. He played Zorro for Disney. And she went, wait a minute, when did you make this tape? We said a week ago. A week ago, I didn't know I was coming here till 3 hours ago. How could you? Because that's the point.
Wow, that's really intriguing.
And it was, you know, so I talked to some of my academic brethren at the time, and they said it was coincidence. I go, excuse me, coincidence?
Yeah, what are the odds?
Well, I mean, actually, if you want to do them, it was something like 6 times 10 to the 42nd power.
That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah, and it was ridiculous. I met her dad and her mom, really nice people, and she was really freaked out by this. It really unnerved her. When she said, when she finished, she stopped, and she said, do you know who I am? She said, my name's Tony Williams. I go, and? Who? I'm Guy Williams' daughter. We went, what? And she didn't know what to do. And even if she'd been brought by someone who had been there the week earlier, there were 12 new people that came in the room, and we rolled dice to see who would be randomly chosen. So the chance of her being randomly would have been astronomical again. So it was amazing, and that's why I told the story in the book. The next precognitive session, weeks later, all we kept seeing was fire, fire, fire. We thought we were losing our minds. I'm in the lab the next day, it was the fifth floor, even though it was called the second floor, and fire engines are coming. Our conference room caught fire. And no, I didn't set it. A socket behind one of the curtains shorted, spark caught the drapes on fire. No wonder why we saw fire. It was imminent. So this is some crude examples of what we dealt with. And again, it brings forth the notion of, are we masters of our own fate, or are we caught up in this bizarre play we're in? We don't know. And I have a weird feeling that in the end, if we ever figure out what's going on, we're not going to like what we learned. It's going to tell us of a space and time that is very different than we think it is, where we aren't who and what we think we are. The reason the book is called Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, as I spoke to Chris about last Wednesday on my show, and by the way, he was a great guest, Chris. You were incredible.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have people like you on the show, because every so often I get someone who just won't talk. You have to sort of fight them to get them to speak. Chris was great, and I really liked what he had to say and his thoughts and attitudes and orientations. And I think the whole thing is, a lot of people who have UFO encounters, CE3s or 4s, start having paranormal fallout. We've had people that began with massive paranormal encounters who start having UFO encounters. The question is, why? What does it mean? How is this all tied together?
That's one of the things that we've talked about in the PowerCast since we started in 2006. The fact that you can't separate UFOs from all this other stuff. And you try. You say, okay, E.T.'s coming down here. That's the UFO mystery. We've got it figured out, and maybe they abduct people occasionally. And then you start talking to people, and you know this far better than I do. You start talking to people, and suddenly they tell you, well, you know, it's not just that, but, you know, I think I saw something, apparition somewhere, or we had strange things moving about in our kitchen. And you get all this other stuff going on, or we saw strange creatures, and you can't separate them.
No, we've had a case actually 3 years ago in Pasadena, and the woman's classic poltergeist activity. But then she said, before we left, we never try to lead people. We'll just let them talk about what they've experienced. We ask questions, but we never suggest anything. Anyway, she says, you know, I had a weird experience years before this started. I wonder if it's relevant. We go, okay, describe it. And she said she was camping with her ex-husband, well, it was now her ex-husband and her son, and this weird light, and they all lost several hours of time.
And we'll get into more of that instance where they had a missing time episode. Coming up with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled LECIG.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene, with Chris, and with Dr. Barry Taff, we're talking about a particular episode. A family is camping out. They have missing time. What happened next, Barry?
Well, they wake up and they realize that hours have gone by, and they're like, what? And they feel kind of sick, and they have scars and bruises. And then it was about 8 or 9 months later where paranormal phenomena began happening around them, and it helped cause the family to break up. The marriage broke up, and the woman still has paranormal fallout, and we saw some of the pictures she's taken. This is not a professional photographer. She barely knows how to load a camera or use a computer. Some of the pictures are more indicative of ufological events than paranormal or whatever. And we didn't say, we just all looked at each other because we knew what we were seeing or what we thought we were seeing. And the woman got so freaked out by all that she went to a church and they took her pictures and destroyed them. And they took the, the memory cards from her camera and destroyed that. These are all demons. They're going to get you. And oh my God. And in fact, she was going to appear on a show. My colleague was for co-producing at the time. And they told the church that, oh no, these are demons. If you work with the show, they'll end up killing you. And she just went bananas, and we didn't hear from her again. But
so demons are also digital.
Demons are producers that don't pay you. Demons are production companies that give you contracts that say that they can libel and slander you, and you can't go after them for it. Yeah,
welcome to show business.
Let me tell you about another chapter of my book, Chapter 10, called Abduction Central. Valentine's Day, 1977. I was out on a case with my colleague here in Los Angeles. Walked into apartment, the case we were investigating just started, and I saw this girl, and I just went weak. I freaked out. This was my vision of perfect feminine beauty. I couldn't stop staring at my colleagues. Barry, I went, what, who? Oh, yeah, okay. I've never seen a girl more beautiful in my life, and I have a very rigid image of what I think is beautiful. It's kind of very stereotypical of my thoughts. Well, there was an actress who died a couple of years ago. She was young. Her name was Adele Mara. Did a lot of TVs and movies. Marie Blanchard, a shorter version of her, she died like 42 years ago. Let's see, Joan Collins. And that look, Sherry Jackson from What Little Girls Made Of in Star Trek. You get the look. And this girl was all of that rolled into one, and my height, and everything was great. And they started dating and later on, and everything was great. And then the dreams came. This is all in Chapter 10. The dreams is saying that July 22nd, it all ended. I didn't know why, just July 22nd. So I wrote down July 22nd, it ends. I didn't know why or what. I'm not going to tell her. She'll think I want out of the relationship, and this is how I'm trying to manipulate her. So I kind of forgot about it. Well, everything was great. Wake up July 10th, July 22nd, and she's under the cover. She won't come out. And she's sobbing. Why didn't I help her? I go, with what? She goes, when the room lit up. I go, when the room lit up? What are you talking about? When the room lit up, they took me. I go, what are you? And she describes the room lighting up, being picked up out of bed. She found herself in another room, a round metal room, on a pedestal-like table of looked like stainless steel or brushed aluminum, restrained at her ankles, her wrists, her neck, and her abdomen. And these little men around her, much smaller than we were, and we're neither of us are tall. We're both about 5'5".
Okay, this is a classic abduction scenario. Right.
Right. And long story short, they were cutting and probing and hurting her and sticking her, and she was freaking out. And she never said aliens. She had no interest in UFOs at all. Had no, not even curious. Didn't interest her. But the reason I met her is there was poltergeist activity around her. Anyway, she finally comes out from under. I asked her before she came out. I said to her, "Do you know anything about UFO abductions?" She goes, "What? What are UFO abductions?" She goes, "What? No, what is that all? No. Comes out of under the covers. She's bleeding from her nose, bleeding from her ear, bleeding from her eye, bleeding from her uterus, bleeding from her rectum, and from her mouth, and she wasn't menstruating. Around her hair had been cut, little scoops of skin taken out of her back, and around her wrists, her ankles, her abdomen, and her neck were black and blue constriction marks, like she'd been bruised. She had a complete breakdown. What made me think this case was more than simply some kind of systematic manifestation or like form of stigmata was the power net area had gone off out at 2 in the morning, and people had seen a strange glowing object hovering over that part of the Hollywood Hills at about the same time.
Obviously now, not a dream state if you have all those physical effects.
Right, right. And she'd been abducted apparently since then, and she had a complete breakdown, and had this not occurred, whatever it was, I'm assuming it was an abduction, but very likely we would have been married within less than a year.
Are you married?
No.
Okay.
That was the only girl I've ever met that I could have married in terms of our compatibility. I meet beautiful women all the time. The problem is they either think I'm crazy, which is very common, or more disturbingly, they make me look normal. If that's the case, we're in trouble.
Oh, boy.
So my life, this is a life, you know, on my website, barrytaff.net, one of the blogs is called A Life-Changing Paranormal Event, and this was with this girlfriend. And I can't imagine if, God, if we would have been married, I would have had to get a normal job. What a horrible thought. But it would have been worth it in her case. But that didn't happen. So,
well, that leads me to another question by Polterwurst,
yeah.
and that is, do you always find a focus person in the poltergeist cases that you look into? And if so, are there similarities in personality types?
Yeah, answer is yes and yes. It could be anywhere from pubescence, adolescence into adulthood. Personality, kind of wired, frenetic, kind of disfragmented personality, very unstable emotionally speaking. The commonalities are this. It seems there's three or four variables that determine the manifestation of these phenomena. Chris and I discussed this briefly last week. One is location, location, location. It seems these environments seem to have geomagnetic or electromagnetic anomalies. Two.
Before you go to, that's like having portal areas or something like that.
Let's stay away from the word portal. Let's just call it a geophysical anomaly. Okay? Secondly, would be the person tends to be either seizure prone or epileptic, whether they know it or not. And you can obviously measure this. If the instruments we take out into the field are very sensitive, but they can't measure biomagnetic. That's so weak you need superconducting sensors for squid devices, whatever. Bioelectric is easy to measure. Anyway, long story short, again, around these poltergeist agents, their bodies seem to be putting out up to a million times the magnetic field amplitude of a normal person, which is why they're epileptic. And the third variable, so you have the location, the unique neurophysiology of the individual, and the third is unstable emotions. Those seem to be the common factors. And all the cases that we've worked on, we can really delve into them. The pattern's the same, not some of them. It's always the same. It's like wherever you imagine you go to a different restaurant, but wherever you eat, you're eating the same food. It's a new face, a new place, but it's the same food.
It's still McDonald's. No matter where you go, it's McDonald's, it's Pizza Hut.
Unfortunately.
Or
yeah,
Wendy's.
Of course,
you're in Southern California, which is, I guess, the home of franchised restaurants, although there's some great restaurants there that we have to talk to you about later on.
Yes.
But, you know, when we get to Southern California.
Right. So, you know, those are the three or four, I guess, parameters that we look at, and the consistency has been extremely high. It's amazing.
I'll tell you what's amazing, these announcements coming from our benefactors. We have Dr. Barry Taff with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A+ rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion-dollar million company, and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to incomeathome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit incomeathome19.com. Incomeathome19.com. That's incomeathome19.com.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog, packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene, with Chris on the Paracast, Dr. Barry Taff. And no, I do not pre-write the segues or use remote viewing to make them that bad. I just do my best. You want to continue with that frame of thought, Barry, or should we have another question?
Yeah. What's important, the majority of people who are poltergeist agent tend to be, as a seizure prone or epileptic. However, most people who are seizure prone or epileptic are not poltergeist agent. That means it's a unilateral effect. There's a missing or unknown variable.
Goes against the wisdom that it's really teenagers who are near puberty and they have all this excess energy.
Well, no, actually, the whole thing, the same way in nature, many different things could produce heat. Friction, chemicals could produce heat, light could produce heat, fire produces heat. There's five or six things they all produce heat. You may get the same result from different causes, but it seems to be the result of a confluence, not an influence. So it's like in order to produce, make a certain recipe, you've got to have a certain, foods and spices together to produce a given result. A young person who's going through puberty or adolescence, their nervous system may be so frayed to begin with, it may parallel that of someone who's seizure-prone or epileptic. Now, when the people who are seizure-prone or epileptic who have these phenomena around them, when they take the meds to quell their seizures, not only do the seizures stop, the phenomena stops. When they stop taking the meds because the meds make them feel really bad, the seizures return, as do the phenomena. What a coincidence. That means the same region of the brain may be mediating both processes. The question is, you could do studies, longitudinal studies on this, MRIs, functional MRIs, PET scans, cost a fortune, and every doctor, every MD would be out of a job.
Oh, yeah, the insurance companies wouldn't go for this. But I also wonder from what you're saying here, would that mean that in theory, you could give somebody a drug to recreate certain mental symptoms that would cause you to see these things?
Well, no, you're correct, but you're incorrect. There may be a way.
That would be the first time.
But no, you're right, but the precision is wrong. There may be a way to reverse engineer the process. And rather than stimulating the brain chemically, which is very dangerous under any circumstances, we know that from the history of psychotropic drugs, there may be a way to drive the environment and the individual. In neurophysiological research, you can do what's called photic driving by putting a bright strobe light in front of a patient's eyes and see how their brain responds. Well, that also can induce epilepsy in people. It may be possible to drive the brain through electromagnetically pumping the environment in certain ways. The problem is the risk to the persons in the environment might be acute, in which case you can't do it because you never, ever put people at risk for any reason whatsoever. So that's the problem, that I think it's possible to do this. It would be very dangerous and risky, and theoretically you could fry people. You could kill them with this. There may be other ways of doing it, but, the whole thing of you never put people in harm's way medically, ever. And I don't care what data you're going to collect, you don't do it. So this is a possibility. I would suggest that people don't experiment with this. You may fry your own nervous system.
Chris, let's get into another question.
This is fascinating, Barry. And Poulterwurst is right there. I think he was precognitive with his questioning here. another question that he has, which I think is a very good one, and for someone that has been out on thousands and thousands of cases and claims of the unusual, do we have any hard evidence, audio or video recordings, police reports, that there's really something happening with hauntings and poltergeist cases which seem to contradict our knowledge of natural laws and processes, that it's not all infrasound waves or other natural phenomena people are imagining or misinterpreting things or even hoaxing? If so, why is this evidence not more widely known and the phenomena more publicly accepted?
Well, yeah, the answer is yes, there's evidence. But see, science has done great things. Without science, we wouldn't be having the show right now because we wouldn't have technology. So you've got to be able to reproduce stuff in a controlled situation.
And I have to tell you, it's not reverse engineered alien technology.
Right.
I don't think.
Right. No. But basically, it's a really good question that was asked. And that is for example, the entity case. You have 20 people in a little bedroom in Culver City in a hot summer night of 1974. And lime green lights coalesce. This is chapter 2 in my book, by the way. Coalesce at the corner and a large apparition forms. And it was astounding. I mean, I remember it like I was there yesterday. It was like, oh, my God. And then it just turns off like a light. Well, we had several professional photographers there with cameras firing. We could see with our naked eyes. It lit up the room pretty brightly in an otherwise darkened environment, yet we couldn't photograph it. Well, we did capture, which is in my book, these balls of light, which were visible to the naked eye. And we also got arcs of light, which we never saw, in the best picture from the entity case, the light that frames Doris Beither, the lady, the focal point of the case. She was cowering under the lights. The arc, most likely, is the result of time lapse. We were shooting too slow, and the ball was flying over her, and as it did, it produced an arc. It's like you're taking pictures, astronomical photographs with a telescope and a camera. If you don't have a moving platform, you'd get streaks with time exposure. Same thing here. All in the San Pedro case, incredible, chapter 3 of my book, Hazardous Haunting. Very extraordinary photographs taken by Barry Conrad and by Jackie Hernandez in the case. And these look like plasmas, clear, very clear, three-dimensional point sources of light. They overlap each other. They have clear dimensionality, depth of field. And these were visible to the naked eye. They look like plasmas, but what's the source? It's the evidence is there. We don't know how to interpret it. The best way to describe where parapsychology has been for a long time and still is, with three blind men touching an elephant. One blind man holds the leg. Oh, it's a tree. It's a tree trunk. The other holds the trunk of the elephant and thinks it's the hose. The third blind man holds the tail and thinks it's a rope. They're all wrong. That's where we are. We don't know. The phenomenon is there. Sometimes you have these blatant manifestations, but we can't explain them. When you see a 215-pound man picked up and thrown on the wall like a rag doll, like in San Pedro, and there's nothing near him that can make that happen, and the room gets colder prior to the event, There's nothing in our world that explains this. There's no force of nature we know of that can manifest this event without burning him alive. Everything we know of, all the energies we know of, long before he would move, his clothes would burst into flame, everything in the room would burst into flame, and he would be killed. That didn't happen. That didn't get hot, it got cold. Well, then we got a problem, don't we? The problem is we don't know what's going on. So instead of burying our heads in the sand and go, well, you know, who cares? We'll ignore it. No, that's the...
Maybe they'll just go away.
Yeah, right, exactly. The whole idea is if we just ignore them, they'll stop bothering us, meaning ignore what the data is indicating. And if you look at the data over a long period of time, which is really, really why I loved having Chris on my show last Wednesday, is that collecting data and looking at the longitudinal patterns in which you're seeing clear evidence there's something extraordinary going on, and the patterns there, we don't quite interpret it yet, but it's there. It is what he's doing, what I've been doing, a few other people have been doing, and what's happening on TV is going in the opposite direction. It's all fantasy. It's all stupid hype. It's horror. I mean, it's instead of universal mummies and vampires and wolfmen and Frankenstein, it's people running around screaming, oh, what was that? Oh, did you feel that? Oh, what was that? I think we need a show called Bimbo Babe Ghost Hunters. And the women run around in thong, beautiful bodacious babes, run around in thong bikinis. Ghost of the ghost. Ah.
Shh, don't say anything. I think they're copying what you're saying. This show will appear on the Sci-Fi Channel in 2 years.
Right. With my name excised from it.
Your name will not be involved. That's how they do it. You know, if they can't think up a dumb idea, they will steal a dumb idea. And then they'll bring it out. And, well, you know, if they get sued, fine. They'll stonewall. You know, it's like these successful TV shows that are in syndication for years, but they lost money.
Right.
Dr. Barry Taft joins us. I don't think he loses money. If you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit, delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
With Gene and Chris, you have a fascinating episode with Dr. Barry Taff. He's author of a book called Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, Explorations of the Unknown. And we have someone who enjoys lunch meat and poltergeists because he calls himself Polterwurst.
Polterwurst.
Polterwurst. The worst polter I ever tasted. You know, I just...
Well, how about Gogsmacky? I have a question from Gogsmacky that kind of dovetails, I think, with where we're at in the conversation. Barry, what is the bottom line? Do you believe that people who see ghosts or supernatural entities are ever seeing something that is physically there and not just a figment of your imagination? And he gives an example of an inexplicable event that had no explanation of a woman that disappeared into a dead-end alley. And do you think that there's a possibility that these entities, and I'm kind of adding my own little second question here, I've noticed on a number of ghost investigations that I've gone out to on haunted sites that you have the inexplicable draining of batteries almost instantaneously in various gear that we have out there, whether it's, you know, 6-volt deep cycle light batteries or camera batteries or audio recording gear. Do you think that there's some sort of connection there, you know, energetically, that these energies are somehow utilizing batteries for whatever purpose?
Well, and to start, yes, 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 and yes, but then no. Here's the problem. In the entity case, for example, you have 20 people in a room, all who saw the same thing at the same time, yet it wasn't photogenic, which is impossible. If it's visible to the naked eye, it should be photographable. But it wasn't. Well, okay, we know that subtle, very weak electromagnetic fields can influence our brains. Dr. Michael Persinger in Canada, he's a neurobiologist, studied all this. Yeah, it's true. But let's say there was some electromagnetic anomaly at the entity site in Culver City in 1974, and we were all somehow being made to hallucinate by this force. The chance of even two of us having the same hallucination, let alone 20, is a trillion to one. No. It doesn't work that way. We have enough individual biological difference from one person to the next. That doesn't occur. So we all wrote down what we saw. We all saw the same thing collectively, yet it wasn't photogenic, which is impossible. Okay, so then what are we seeing it in our mind's eye? If we're seeing it in our mind's eye, you can't photograph that yet, as far as we know. As far as we've seen in a number of cases, many cases actually, we go out with, you know, instrumentation and gear and Not that uncommon. Brand new batteries drop dead. Go in there and suddenly all the batteries. Last case, as I mentioned, Pasadena, everything's charged. Three of our main instruments, batteries were dead as a doornail. I had F spares. I put them in. They were brand new, dead as a doornail. In the San Pedro case, the woman moved out. Jackie Hernandez moved. And new people who moved in started having similar phenomena. They moved out. Other new people moved in. They moved out. Same thing. A crew came in there with their, you know, professional cam gear, Betacam. This was back in the early 90s. And their equipment kept dying. They go out, it would come back out. They go back in, it would turn off. It's almost like this force is incompatible with, at some levels, with modern electromagnetism. And it wouldn't surprise me at all, because if we're looking at a force that is, instead of being exothermic, is endothermic, my guess is it wouldn't work very well with humanly generated electromagnetism, whether it's DC or AC. Now, what's interesting in the San Pedro case, this is all in Chapter 3, called The Hazardous Haunting. Jackie moves out of San Pedro, and it follows her. The phenomena moves with her up to Weldon, which is up in Fresno, in Bakersfield area, not Fresno. And what happened there was amazing. I wasn't there because my father had a heart attack at the time, so I was sidelined with my parents. The phenomena continued, and Jeff was almost killed again. At that, somebody threw him in the wall like the rag doll, which a lot of people witnessed. And their equipment kept failing and going dead. She finally comes back to visit San Pedro, and she's running around doing things in the day with her friends, comes back to her motel room, and on the walls and the ceiling, in big red marker pencil, the words mad and angry. Well, if you had to describe Jackie's state of mind at that point in time, was she mad and angry? Yeah. Because her life was turned upside down and inside out by these events. She had no control over them. Now, the phenomena repeatedly attacked Jeff Wheatcraft. Once in September 89 in San Pedro, another time up in Weldon, and another time at Barry Conrad's house. And what's interesting is Jackie really disliked Jeff intensely. Jackie was very attracted to Barry Conrad. Barry looks like a young Elvis. You know, good-looking guy, dark hair, blue eyes, very funny and affable, friendly, you know, just really nice guy, and women go nuts over him. Jackie misinterpreted his help as that of romantic interest. So who was around Barry all the time when he was there? Jeff. Jackie saw that as an impediment to her growing close to Barry. And who does the phenomena keep attacking? Jeff. Gee, thinks there's a link? And what got so bad with Jackie, one time Barry woke up. This is when he lived in Studio City. He now lives in Glendale. When he wakes up and there's a new Jackie Hernandez next to him in bed. She broke in his apartment, took off her clothes, and got in bed next to him.
Wow. I could think of some women who I would have liked that to have happened with.
Oh, yeah, well. Jackie's a nice person, but not someone I would want to be involved with. She's got some little personal demons, and I don't mean the paranormal type. But what's interesting is that most of these phenomena are linked to people. I'd say very few cases in my files I would call hauntings.
So it's something here that someone has something within them that makes them sensitive or as a generator of some kind of phenomenon.
Well, it's sort of like I coined a term called a psychovirus. We know what a virus is. We know what bacteria are. You know, you're healthy. You go to someone's home. Their family's sick. You don't touch anything. You wear a mask. You come home. You get sick. You give it to your family. We understand that. We know what that is. There may be something akin to that going on here, but it isn't biological. It's energetic. Jackie Hernandez, she moves in this little bungalow in San Pedro, and all these things start happening. She moves out. Phenomena stays with her. Then new people move in. It starts happening to them. They move out. Then more new people move in. It starts happening to them. There's something in that location that affects people. If you're sensitive to that particular type of force, it in some way modifies you. You then carry it away from the source and propagate it independently of a source. We understand that biologically, but energy-wise, we don't, because there's no name for it. And that's why I called it a psychovirus. And we've seen this in other cases. In the last chapter I added to my book, not the last actual chapter, called Chapter 7, An Irreplaceable Loss, The Life and Death of a Poltergeist Agent. And this was one of the most extraordinary cases I've ever had, because I was able to plot data over several years of time and we looked back at it when the case ended, and the pattern was so demonstrably clear, it was rather disturbing that the phenomenon was linked to this woman's physical state of health. And when she died, the phenomenon stopped because the generator was gone.
A really good question that addresses that very thing. Mm-hmm. This comes from Spooky Mulder, who's one of our newer posters at forum.theparacast.com. And his question is, if one was to accept the possibility of certain people being able to manifest these forms, be it tulpas, poltergeists, is it not possible that some residual hauntings could be the result of some of these cases where the spirit in question outlived or outlasted the originator of the spirit in question? Or would they tend to go away and die with the loss of that person that may be responsible for them being manifest to begin with? That's a good question.
Well, yes, but I think the nomenclature used is somewhat dated in the San Pedro case, Jackie Hernandez. When I told the producer of Hard Copy about Jackie's being the actual poltergeist agent, it's related to her, the producer said, what do you mean? So the ghost, she's telling the ghost to do what the ghost to do and the ghost does it? I go, there's no ghost. It's Jackie.
What? That sounds like a producer.
Yeah. Hello? Wake up, people. No, it's Jackie. In other words, my guess is the environment can charge up the individual, infect them, and people may act as biological operational amplifiers. If we're sensitive, our body takes in this force, modifies it, bumps it up a notch, and then we also act as focal planes and waveguides. We then push it out and mediate it in terms of what it does based on our subconscious fears, wants, desires. And this case was one of many that we've seen. The question is, can the person charge the energy? Yes, it may be reciprocal. The linkage between the individual and the environment is critical. In the book, I call that inductive coupling. It's a coupling that occurs between the environment and the individual. If that inductive coupling occurs, they feed each other, so to speak. It's like a back and forth. And if it reaches a certain threshold, you will get physical phenomena.
I'm going to ask you in our next segment whether Mother Earth, therefore, is causing some of these things to happen. That raises so many fascinating questions. Dr. Barry Taff, the book is called Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, Explorations of the Unknown. And we're talking about the unknown Gene and Chris, trying to make ourselves known to more listeners. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.